Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going.
The garden. Everybody shout the garden. I want to continue our talk about the kingdom. The kingdom of God. We know that there's a kingdom of heaven that you want to go to someday. How many of y'all want to go to kingdom of heaven someday? How many like me and you don't want to go today, but you want to go there? Then there's the kingdom of God, and that's God's way of doing things and being right. I want you to shout that with me. God's way of doing things and being right. One more time. What is that? God's way of doing things and being right. God is always right, and in the beginning of time, God decided that he was going to create this beautiful garden, and in the middle of the garden, he was going to provide luxurious accommodations, incredible scenery, and it was just a man. He was walking around, enjoying his life, but then he got bored. He said, hey, God, I have nobody to talk to. How many of y'all know women would solve that problem right there? So he said, well, I can create for you a woman. She will give you a child, and she'll take care of you and cook, and she'll never have a headache. You know, it's just going to be incredible. He said, well, what is that going to cost me? And he said, an arm and a leg. He said, what can I get for a rib? Come on. And that's where it all started. That was a joke. It's a plot. So in the garden, God created a man and a woman, and in there, he wanted them to really enjoy their life. He didn't want them to sweat, worry, have fear, anxiety. He wanted them to be free. That was the first initial kingdom in which God set up, called the Garden of Eden. And then, of course, through sin, we know that the enemy crept in, and he wanted to destroy God's kids from having a good time. How many of y'all believe that you are a child of God? Raise your hand at all campuses, right? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm the one that the Lord loves. Just tell him that. See, I'm his favorite. My daughter, I love her. My son in Florida today as well, my daughter in love. If I can ever keep them from having a problem, I want to solve it. I try to be a good dad. They still have never bought me the best dad shirt from Walmart, but that's not a big deal, just saying. But I try to be a good dad. But that we know that God is a terrific father, so it just stands to reason that he would want us to live in a world where it would be free from all that pillage and all that demonic activity. That's where he wants us to live. So then God never woke up and said, uh-oh, I didn't see that coming. God always has a second chance for you. Whether that's in marriage or ministry or life, he's got a plan B for you. Actually, he's got A, B, C, D. How many of y'all are way down the alphabet by now? God has multiple plans. So what he decided to do was have the second Adam, the second Adam, which would be Jesus. And we know that Jesus, he lived a spotless life, and now he hangs on a tree so that he could buy back everything Adam and Eve lost. And I think that deserves a great big round of applause for Jesus. Wow. So what happened was is that the roots were destroyed because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Not just a halfway life, not just existing, not just saying, man, thank God that's another week done, that's another sermon preached, that's another Christmas out of the way. No. God wants you getting up every day thinking, my life is so good, I think I want to live forever. And so he had, not only did he have fruit, which we know that the fruit was destroyed, but the roots coming out of the tree were deeply rooted in God. And that's where I often say that, you know, even this weekend, discovering and just enjoying Fred Price's ministry, I think about the fact that I don't have his fruit, but I have his root. And since I had his root, I was able to produce his fruit. By the way, for some of you that are just starting a business, the fruit is the last thing you see on the tree. The roots go down, the foliage starts to come, and then eventually, years later, the fruit comes. So just because it hasn't happened today doesn't mean it's not going to happen tomorrow. Because I believe in the next 5 years, we're going to experience 5 years of grace and favor. And we saw what the enemy tried to do with the first people of the earth, Adam and Eve. And you see that God turned that around, and through Jesus, he was a far better substitutionary sacrifice. And he had a tree that he hung on that not only freed us from toil and care and sickness and disease, but the Bible said he became poor that we might be rich. I'm telling you that the best days financially are ahead for God's people. Give God praise today. I'm saying you're going to be blessed coming in. You're going to be blessed going out. And everything your hand touches turns to good, because your roots are deeply rooted and founded in him. Can I get an amen in the church today? Oh, if you can't preach with that organ, you just can't preach. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed through his nostrils the breath of life." He breathed his breath into you. That's why abortion's so bad. God's breathing in it, and we're killing it. Now, verse 8 says, "Now the Lord God had planted in the garden in the east of Eden, and he formed man, and the Lord God made all kinds of trees in the garden that were pleasing to the eye, that were good for food. But in the middle of the garden of the tree, he put the tree of life, of knowledge and evil." Jump to verse 15. "And the Lord God took the man, and he put him in the garden to work and to take care of it." That's, by the way, what you're called to do right now. "Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." I don't want you thinking this is the worst of times. Communism and socialism, and I wish my kids weren't even born. Don't even have grandkids. No, God needs people with roots to help people who need fruit in the years to come. We're raising up some Josephs. "And the Lord God took man and put him in the garden, and he said, 'You take care of it.' And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but,'" everybody shout, "but." "But," he said, "'you must not eat from the tree in the middle of the garden, or you will die.'" There's just trees everywhere, guys. There's trees all over. But he said, "There's one tree that I have set apart. Don't touch it." In honor of MC Hammer, shout, "Can't touch this." God said, "Hey, I'm not trying to hold anything back. Really, what I'm really trying to do is help you discover greed in your life." It wasn't so much to say, "Don't touch that tree." He just picked that one because it was in the center, because we know Jesus at the center of it all. He's supposed to be at the center of it all, because if he's not Lord at all, Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And so what we see now is a lot of people in 2021, many of them are hoarding up and they're in fear because they're thinking that they are part of this system. You're in this world, but you're not actually from this world. You are from a kingdom where your father is the king. And he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things would be added unto you." Ings, housing, bling, bling, cha-ching, cha-ching. All the ings will be added unto you. In fact, you don't even have to add them to yourself. He said that he would be the one to bless you with supernatural provision for the vision. Come on, Florida, say amen today to do what God called you to do. I want you to confess that with me. Shout, "I will always have enough to do what I'm called to do and have plenty left over." So actually, I want to go to a video to show you some people who have switched systems, so you can see these people are in the same world that you're at, but God's doing some cool stuff in their life.
Hey, Faith Church family. My name is Danny Felder, and I wanted to share with you the grace and favor that God has been showing on our lives so far this year.
Just wanted to give y'all a little video update of what's happened at Wildlife Command Center in 2020.
We started off 2020 like everybody else, excited about the real estate market and what was going to happen, and then COVID hit.
And I felt like God was leading me last year to finally take the leap and launch my home-based bakery.
Hands down, we had the best year ever that we've ever had.
You know, instead of being like, "What are we going to do?" We were like, "What are we going to do? What are we going to do about it?" And so we were out of business for a couple months at the beginning of the year, just like everybody else.
Got my business license and set it in motion. I still have a full-time job in corporate America during the day, so managing that and a home-based bakery by evening and weekend, I was making the mistake of trying to do the math on my miracle.
Our gross sales were up. We bought trucks, we hired employees, we opened new locations, and the best thing, we signed a deal with Animal Planet and we started filming a reality TV show based right here in St. Louis.
Highest gross commissions, most transactions, and made about $50,000 more. Talk about the number five.
In 9 months in 2020 and over 12 months that we had in 2019 to work with.
But I pressed in and I've been believing with the rest of you for grace and favor this year, just like God has led us to do and just like Pastor David and Pastor Nicole have called us to do. And I love what Pastor Nicole says in her book, Goal Getters, because she clearly draws our attention to the fact that if you can accomplish your dreams on your own, then you're not dreaming big enough. And so I gave it to him and said, you tell me what you want this to be and how much you want it to grow this year.
Wildlife Command Center has been hugely successful in 2020, and it's mostly because we didn't stop, we didn't give up, we overcame the obstacles, and we believe, like we believe with the whole being, that it's going to happen for us.
You know, at the end of the year, God told me that, you're going to get $1,000. And so I'm just going to the mailbox every day going, where's my $1,000 check? God told me it's coming. Just, a few days after that, we get an email from our daughter's school and she says, I don't know what happened, but we've been charging you guys about $50 more a week than we were supposed to be, mm-hmm. like the whole year. And we started off with about a $1,200 credit. So there was my $1,000 that God told me that we were getting. Yep. And it's just things like that over and over that happened for us in 2020 that we're just super excited about what's going to happen for us in 2021.
Yeah, if that's what we had in our banner years, I can't wait to see what grace and favor looks like.
It's good. I got story after story after story. Turn me up, Marcus. One person at our church was telling me this week that they have a side business. It's in their regular paycheck, but their side business. And this year in COVID of 2020, they made $265,000 on the side, which is about five times what they make from their day job. Give it up for that person. What God did. Y'all be happy if it was you. There's somebody in the audience tonight that had an idea to start a company within, on 2020. And they did. And that company made over $1 million in revenue in 2020 and exploded already in the first few days of 2021. Why am I saying that? I'm saying that because the enemy is trying to take your fruit. He's trying to tell you that, well, if it was a different situation, if COVID wasn't that way, if there wasn't so many changes, if policy wasn't changing, listen, God doesn't check with politics to see if his word is still going to bring provision. He said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's coming to try to say, take a bite. And that's good. I really want to eat the rest of it, but every time I've seen a hog frying, he had one of these in the mouth. Anybody, am I lying right now? But he tries to get you to take a bite of this system. Yeah. This system has nothing to do with you. It has no more to do with you than the trains running down the track heading to Chicago tonight. It has nothing to do with you whatsoever, because if you get a revelation of who you are who the devil is, then you can discern how the enemy is trying to keep you back. Here's what the Bible said. The wealth of the sinner is laid up, stored up for the just. He said at the right time, at the right season, he would bring it to you. But the enemy is so subtle. Genesis 3, let's go there. Verse 1, Florida, watch this. It says, now the serpent was more subtle and crafty than any living creature of the field, which the Lord God had made. And Satan said to the woman, can it really be that God doesn't want you to eat of that tree in the garden? Okay, number one, how many of y'all think you should not be talking to the devil? But let's all be honest. How many of y'all had a conversation with him today? Raise your hand. Don't point at him, but just raise your hand at him, right? So we say, okay, the enemy talks to us. So she started having a conversation with the devil. In verse 2, it says, and the woman said to the serpent, they're talking now, we may freely eat of any trees in the garden except of the fruit where the tree is in the middle of the garden. God has said, you eat of that, you shall not even touch it, or you will die. But the serpent said to the woman, you shall not die. God's a liar. How many of y'all think that's pretty ridiculous? Let's try that again. Raise your hand if you think God's certainly not a liar and he's looking, so I'd raise my hand if I were you. God's not a liar. But we do the same thing. Because I think God's going to take care of me, but I got to look out for myself. I think God's going to provide for me, but we've never been here before. We think God's a liar. He said that he would never have a sin the righteous forsaken or a seed out begging for bread. If you start having conversations with the enemy, next thing you know, you will take a bite out of what God said not to take a bite out of, which is worry. He said, can you add one day to your life by worrying? Can you add one inch to your stature by worrying? He said, look at the lilies of the field. They neither care nor toil, and God takes care of them. Look at the little birds flying around. They're just enjoying the life. I've never seen a bird wear a mask or saying, I hope to God I get my COVID shot. Oh, what's going to happen? I don't know if people are going to put out bird feed anymore. Things are tight. Oh, I just got to fly around. Oh, the birds are just walking around, talking, singing, flying, because they are not listening to this world system. They're in the system of nature, and nature keeps doing what nature has always done. And by the way, it's not Mother Nature. It's God Almighty who brought the sun up today and will put the sun down tonight. He is one God in three people. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah. Quit biting the apple. Quit dating the apple. Quit talking to the devil. You need to, the only conversation you need to do with the devil is say, shut up. You need a shirt that says, devil, no, not today. Write it on the bottom of your shoes. Devil, no, not today. Or tomorrow. The devil is under your feet. Stop having conversations with the devil. He will con you out of what God wants you to enjoy. Verse 6, it says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was delight for the eyes, she started looking at it. The tree was desirable. She took from its fruit and she gave some to her husband. And he ate it. That's why I always look and see what Nicole be trying to feed me. Take a bite first. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. It says naked, but I like naked. I'm from Missouri. They were naked. Shout it with me. Come on, naked. Some of y'all like that too much. Several guys were like, I don't want to say that. With my wife. They knew that they were naked, and so they sewed fig leaves together to start covering themselves. I got to cover my check. I got to cover my insurance. I got to cover my house payment. No, you don't. God said, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You just saw the school give back that woman $1,000. Don't tell me that God can't do what he said he's going to do. He has not forgot the recipe for manna. He hasn't forgot how to get water out of a rock. And he can take care of the people who say, I'm not going to bite that. No. Devil, no, not today. You got to cover yourself. He's going to cover you. My kids assume that. We go out to eat. They never say, hey, I got it. Come on, raise your hand. You got kids. Your kids that don't go to McDonald's and say, I got it. Let me get it. No, they're going to ask you, where's my allowance? You say, use some of your money. Not my money. You had me. And just so you know, it doesn't get better. Raise your hand if you got adult children. It gets more expensive. Now, Austin always looks at me and said, you've had more time to make the money. Come on, cope it up and pay the bill. But they hid themselves, and now they're insecure. They heard a sound, verse 8, walking in the garden at the cool of the day. And the man and the wife had hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. And God saw them in the trees of the garden. And then the Lord called for them and said, where are you? If God asks where you are, it's not because he doesn't know. Like your phone, Nicole got a new phone. Somebody at our church bought us new phones. It was so nice. And she said, look at this. It can tell not only where I'm at. It knows that I'm in the bedroom. She said, it also, when I set it up, started sharing with everybody where I'm at. I better not go nowhere stupid. But if the iPhone knows where you're at, which got Apple on the back of it, I'm here to tell you that God knows where you're at, and when he asks where you're at, it's not to see where you're at. He wants to know where you're at. Are you going to trust me at 21? Are you going to believe in grace and favor? Are you going to hold back? Are you going to allow the devil to do this to you? Are you going to move out in faith and victory and say, I'm not a victim, I'm a victor, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I am in America, but I ain't from here. Give God praise today. Come on, praise him, praise him. Come on, Florida. Where are you? Where are you? Shout it. Where are you? Verse 10, and he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. At least they were honest. And he said, who told you you were naked? Who told you? You've been talking to somebody. You've been watching the news. Who told you the economy was bad? Who told you these were bad times? Who told you that some political party was going to be your savior? Who told you that some vaccine was going to cover you and protect you? Who told you? Who you been talking to? Well, you obviously haven't been talking to me. Because when you look unto God, who is the author and the finisher of your faith, somebody ought to go with me. He said that he sent his word and it healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. And that includes COVID-19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. It covers all that. Jesus, when he died on this tree, he died a complete death as a holy savior. And now you never have to be broken another day of your life. You never have to be sick another day of your life. You never have to be depressed another. I wish I had somebody tonight to believe what I'm telling you. Quit taking a bite of the nasty fruit when you ain't supposed to touch it. Who told you? Who told you? Who told you you were naked? Well, let's get the... If I had time and I don't, I would have the devil come back and rebuild this tree. I would say, hey, you get back out here. Now, I don't have that kind of time. But if I did, I'd say, you put it back. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's going to make you sound... That's going to make me sound crazy. But how many of y'all are pretty sure... I'm already crazy. Raise your hands. So you couldn't possibly believe this. You might not believe what I'm about to tell you right now, but you might believe it later. There really is a thing called demons. And they really do overtake people. Anybody ever seen people that were demon possessed? You're like, ah! And you're like, wow! It ain't normal. Because there's a difference between demon possessed and demon oppressed. People all the time that are Christians can be demon oppressed, but you're not demon possessed, because it's not like the Holy Ghost is going to share, like, hey, this is your half and this is my half. So don't worry about it. You ain't possessed. You might be oppressed. But when you're a tither and you're a giver and you're in church, you say, I won't even take the oppression, Mr. Devil. Hands off, buddy. I am. Oh, yeah. You ain't coming up in here starting that junk with me. Stop it. So, how do we get the blessing back on our life? Well, you know, a guy named Smith Wigglesworth, true story. He was a great evangelist and raised people from the dead, all kinds of crazy stuff. And one night in the middle of the night, he was over in England, and a demon came into his room and levitated his bed and moved it to the other side of the room. Woo! And I know that freaked you out. You might not believe it. That's fine. You don't have to believe it. But he levitated in the other room. He realizes that this is happening. He hears the screaking and the craziness and feels an eerie feeling. And he gets up, sets up in bed and said, devil, put this back right now. In the name of Jesus. Bed went right back over there. Put it back down. I see I lost about 80% of you. I'll probably cut it by the morning because you're not ready for all of it yet. But I still believe that a whale swallowed a man. I still believe that God raised up Lazarus when he was dead. I still believe that my dog was dead. Don't even start me with my own dog dead. And I raised him from the dead myself. You ain't ready for all of me. Just some of me. So come back on Sunday and I'll edit myself. But I am having a party because it's Saturday night. Malachi 3:8, or Malachi, as we call it, in honor of Fasta. How do we get the curse off our life? How do we get the blessing back on it? How many of y'all interested in getting the curse off of your money and getting the blessing on your money? Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? But you ask, how do you rob me? He said, in tithe and an offering, he said, you're under a curse, even the whole nation, because you are robbing me. I remember when the Lord told me that years ago, I said, well, God, you know, I don't really want to be giving you 10% of my income because you only got so much money and I don't really need to be giving you 10%. I ought to give the government, you know, 40%. And God told me, well, I've never raised my rates, but they keep raising theirs. 10 is the number of perfection. If you can count to 10, you can count to 10 million. 10 is completion. So God said, in the garden, you can touch all of the trees in the garden, but you cannot touch the set apart tree, the tithe tree, the tenth tree. And the devil said, look at it, Eve. This is what happened to me. You can put wheels on your Jeep. People ain't saved over here. Super Bowl getting ready to happen, and you can impress your friends by stealing the tithe and putting a big screen on it. And after all, it's kind of like church because you don't go to church anymore. You watch it home, so it's kind of like tithing. Y'all been lying to yourself? Y'all wearing stolen tennis shoes, riding in stolen cars? Y'all a bunch of larcenists and wonder why God, why don't God bless me? I gotta give them $1,000. My school ain't never done nothing for my kid. They don't even learn anything at school. They just buy them books and they chew on them, draw pictures of them. You walk around and complain and remain because the system that you're operating in is you're looking at how can I take care of myself. And the people that I mentioned before in the sermon, every one of those people I know individually, and they said, God, bless me and I will, you know, wait a minute, God, I will bless you and I know you will bless me. And they proved God with a dime out of a dollar and then $10 out of a dollar. Come on, help me right now. And then many of them now, $100,000. Do you know what I could do with $100,000? So let's look one more time. It said, verse 9 says, when you rob me, you rob the whole nation. How can we rob the whole nation? By me not tithing. Collectively, listen to me, Florida. Listen to me around the world. Gary and Eve DeMont, they're in Florida. They're tithers and givers. God's doing so much stuff in their life. It is ridiculous. And I don't have the liberty to share with you how good God is being to them. But there's a lot of people at our church in Florida that God's doing some crazy stuff to. But they were tithing when it was small. And then God blessed them and kept trusting them when it got bigger. And how we rob the whole nation is collectively together, we're able to be on all the television stations tonight and tomorrow in Palm Beach County and St. Louis County and not ask for money. And when people don't tithe, they go, it robs the person who is getting ready to commit suicide that says, God, I need help. God, I'm sitting here with a needle hanging out of my arm. I'm sitting here drowning in my own alcohol addiction. And so we're robbing people when we try to bless ourselves. When God blesses us, we are called not to have our tree look this way, but we are trees of righteousness, plantings of the Lord. And our root needs to go down so our fruit can change the world. Will a man rob God? Yes, he will. But this man won't rob God. Nor will I steal from Walmart or the federal government. I pay taxes on that money. Lots of money. Don't like paying it. Don't like taxation without representation. But I'm going to pay it and I'm not going to complain about it. Just going to walk in love. Got quiet in here. I would say amen here because a lot of you look as if you're tax evaders. And there are auditors that go to our church. So right now would be a time to slip your hand up and say, hey, man, pay my taxes. People are like, hey, worth going to hell over. I ain't lying in church, Petey. Verse 10, it says, bring the whole tithe, not part of the tithe. The why? The whole tithe to the storehouse, not to Walmart. I'm going to buy that TV. Not to Amazon Prime. Bring it to where? That there may be food in my house. This is the only place in the Bible where God says, test me with this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw up the floodgates of heaven, and I will pour you out a blessing that you will not be able to contain. I've been living this for a long time. I told you earlier, I started out with $5 to Fred Price, and I faithfully gave there. It was like stock with me. Then I was a faithful tither to my dad and his church. And then, you know, got and made a decent amount of money. And then the devil came in because of lust and greed and disobedience in my life. And then I got a divorce. And then half of my stuff was gone. And then I'm depressed. And my world looked like this. And then I said, God, I'm going to do what you told me to do. I'm going to obey you. I promise you, God, I will. And then I walked into a party one night. And I saw a girl that was 5'11" with an 8-year-old boy. And I thought, oh, my God, God's about to give me double for my trouble. Somebody ought to help me right now. And I went on a date with this girl, and I fell in love. I fell in love with her son first, then I fell in love with her. And then I found out that she made $100,000 a month, and then I fell deep in love with this. I've never been so in love in my life. $100,000 a month? Now I'm not crying anymore about what the devil stole from me, because what the devil stole from me did not compare what God brought back to me. Let me tell you, if the thief be found, God will make him pay 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. Somebody ought to shout amen to that. But if you rob God, you are robbing the nation, but really who you're robbing is you. You're robbing you. I like the way it sounds. I feel like it makes an impression. Definitely making a dental impression. I'm just going to keep stealing a little bit more. I'll do it after COVID. I'll do it when I get my real job. I'll do it. No, you ain't never going to do it. You're a liar. Will a man rob God? I never met a thief that wasn't a liar, and I never met a liar that wasn't a thief. And God wants to get in business with you. And if you think I'm trying to get your money, don't give your money. I'm not on commission. I'm trying to challenge you for you to understand that your greed and your lust and your pride is actually keeping you with those deadly sins that are keeping you back from the greater blessing, because you started looking at something that wasn't yours. You can't look at stuff that's not yours. I was with a famous person that I was coaching recently, and we were talking about some issues that are in his life and the issues in his past. And one of the things that he said that he discovered from his counselor was, his counselor said, your biggest problem is you're selfish. That's your biggest problem. You're selfish. And this guy told me, hey, took me like a year and a lot of money, but he was right. And I thought, you know, I don't want to pay all the money he paid, but it seemed as if the Holy Ghost just spoke to me that I might have the same problem. If you're thinking there's nobody in the crowd, they're still here. I think maybe they are thinking what I'm thinking. And maybe we're selfish. Out of all the trees, Eve, out of all the trees, why you gotta be jacking with the one tree he said don't mess with? And why you gotta go give it to your husband? One thing we see is that, and I'm wrapping it up with this, the husband wasn't where he was supposed to be. Listen to me prophetically. Many husbands are not caring for their wives. They're not caring for their children. And part of the way it is, my wife, she wants to tithe, and I want to give my money to that big church. Give it. I don't know. What do they need with my money? When you got a big church, you need a lot of money. Every time it snows, typically I'm in Florida when that happens, but it's about $15,000 every time it snows. And so I not only hate snow because I don't want to slip in it, it just costs a lot of money. You say, well, what does God do with that money? Well, we need churches and buildings, because people that are far from Jesus, they could get saved in a bar, but highly unlikely. When they come here and they feel grace, favor, encouragement, hope, and they feel the worship, then the anointing of God removes burdens and destroys yokes and lets the oppressed go free. Stop robbing God. Just give him what he wants. All he's asking for is 10% out the gate. First off, not after you pay your bills. Then you will receive freedom and you will stop devouring. Verse 11, we're almost done. He said, if you're a tither, I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. We could say, I will prevent COVID from destroying your business. I will prevent a pandemic from taking the field and casting the fruit off, says the Lord. Then all the nations of the world will call you blessed for your a delightsome land, says the Lord. So as you know, God told me that there's going to be 5 years of grace and favor for the five wise virgins. This is found in Revelations. There's five wise virgins and five foolish virgins. And the five foolish virgins the Lord spoke to me were not what you would suppose. Well, that's the world. Quite the contrary. He told me that it's the church. And that even within my church that I pastor, and I believe it's one of the greatest churches in the whole wide world. But even in this church, the five foolish say, oh, I'm going to do what I want to do and I want to protect myself. You're limiting your business model. You're limiting the God of heaven from opening up the windows and pouring you out a blessing you cannot contain. How, what does that mean as I close, that you cannot contain it? I was talking to a business guy at our church this last week that his business grew so much that he had to lease a warehouse. 3 months later, lease another warehouse. And then in the last days of November, he leased another warehouse. And now he's looking to buy, like other people at our church. Three people have bought the entire strip malls. Give it up for our church family, from Ferguson, Florissant, to Weldon, to Earth City, to here in Florida. They bought malls. So it's not a time for you to go, I'm going to wait and see what the world's going to do. There'll be destruction and famine and calamity. But that has nothing to do with the people who have a liberal soul. Last verse, Proverbs 11:25. It says the liberal soul shall be made fat, or a person who's generous shall be made fat. And he that watereth, he himself shall be watered. God wants to use you. But what makes you stand out is different. What makes you different? Florida? Everybody here in all these rows, at every campus, we all go to the same church, but 78% of the people don't tithe. That's a lot. We do a lot of cool things, help a lot of people. But well, what is that? Because people say, I just don't have the money not to. Let's put this together for you. You don't have the money not to because when you touch what is God's and is holy, then the blessing from the blessor is not on your life. And then you're just a thief. But when you say, God, I want to qualify for the blessing, I'm going to stop having my dental records on that which I'm not supposed to touch. By the way, just for fun, my hands are really sticky right now. It's obvious I've been touching this thing, and it's sticking. Your hands are getting sticky. And so money comes through your hands, and it's sticky, and now you can't release to God so God can release to you, because what he wants to do is he wants you to operate in the system of generosity and the law of the harvest, which is you sow, then you reap, then you sow. But again, tithing's not even sowing, because when you sow or you give an offering, that's what you offer God. I make an offer on a house. You offer God that which is yours. But the tithe, he said, for you and I to be in business together, you have got to tithe. Tithe means tenth. And again, you don't have to do this. This is just me telling you, if you eat pizza and pie and cake before you go to bed, your body is not going to be able to process it all, and you're going to store it as fat. And you're going to be big boned to retain water. Then you get up in the morning and you say, hey, I want to have pizza and pie, and I don't want to work out because my body doesn't want to work out. I'm going there with you guys just for 1 minute because I love you. There's a reason why every commercial on television is selling you more drugs, because we are not doing what God asked us to do. So I want to raise up a generation of people who says, when the world looks chaotic, I want you to be healthy, I want you to be wealthy, I want you to be wise, and I want our faith church to rise up and feed the poor globally. I want us to go into prisons. Come on, somebody ought to help me more than ever. And the only way we can do it is you stop talking talking to the devil about why you're going to get ahead by stealing. You never get ahead by stealing. You honor God and God honors you. Give God praise today. I want everybody to stand with me at all campuses. Every campus, stand with me. We're done, except I want us to pray a prayer together. A lot of you are feeling pretty condemned right now, and that's not my goal. My goal is to make you feel like a champion. Another C word. I want you to feel like a conqueror. I want you to feel beat down, suppressed, and oppressed by the devil. That's the devil's job. The Bible said there's therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. So there's a scripture that said when the thief be found, it says make him repay. But there's another one that says let him that stole steal no more. So all you have to do is just say, I can't possibly go back and fix all this. But what I can do is next week, this apple looks pretty mired up. But this one is another perfect opportunity to make Jesus Lord of my finances. Because I want you blessed. I believe in St. Louis and Palm Beach County. Those are the only two states that I'm called to have physical locations. Can't do anymore. Don't want to do anymore. I will pastor in St. Louis no matter how cold it gets, no matter how whatever it gets, I'll be here forever. And same in Palm Beach County. Those are the two places God gave me. But let's do it big. Let's change the world from here. Let's start outreaches in Cambodia and Ethiopia. Let's rescue more girls out of sex trafficking. What about it? Let's feed more people in prison. Let's make an impact on the world. And we can do it if our apple doesn't look like this. But it looks more like this. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Nobody looking around. I want you to pray this out loud with everyone. Everyone's going to pray the prayer. Say, God, forgive me for being selfish, greedy, and prideful. I really wanted people to see me look a certain way, to drive a certain thing, to live in a certain house. And I was trying to impress the wrong guy. I need to make an impression of obedience to God. But from this moment forward, I'll never steal again. I will do things to protect theft. I'll do reoccurring giving. I'll always make tithe the first, because I'm never going to be in that position that I saw earlier where the devil destroyed all the fruit on the tree from one act of disobedience. If the Lord said, don't touch it, I will not touch it. I ask you, Lord, to forgive me, cleanse me, and it'll never happen again. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said amen and amen. Give the Lord a great big praise.
Hey, thanks again for joining the Faith Church Podcast. For more inspirational content just like this, join us each and every week. And have you heard the bonus podcast from Pastor David? Information and revelation you can't hear anywhere else. That bonus podcast has moved to the Faith Church app. So all you have to do is go to your app store, download the faithchurch.com app, put it in your keyword. It'll come up, download it. It's a free app. And right there on the homepage, you will find the bonus podcast from Pastor David. I'm talking about digging into stuff, revelation that he won't talk about really anywhere else, only found on the bonus podcast. So check that out. Hey, leave a review. Go and invite somebody. Share the podcast today. But until next week, we'll see you right here on the Faith Church Podcast.